Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whenever we entertain people in our house, whether it is a fellowship group from church or annual Christmas open house, it is a big deal in getting the house ready for these gatherings. Of course, my wife is highly motivated on the optics of how our house looks. Things need to look just right. So whenever I hear the word hospitality, I think hospitality equals hard work. The act of hospitality as far as socializing and what happens during the gathering is not the hard work. What I am referring to is the work of preparation and cleanup. In fact, in our presentation of the food and how the house is decorated and tidied up, these things communicate a message. We communicate things by how we present ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he entered Jerusalem in this week before he died, as we remember Palm Sunday, he is communicating certain things by his presentation of himself. He signaled the meaning of his life by his entrance into Jerusalem on this day. His presentation should have sent signals to the crowd, for he meant a message, and he brought a message by his actions. What did Jesus intend to communicate by his entrance of himself into Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday? My first point is, first, as Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem, he shows his disciples that he is a prophet. He tells two of his disciples that when they enter the city, they will immediately see a donkey, and they are to untie it and bring it to Jesus for him to ride on. In case anyone asks them what they are doing, they are to tell the people that the master needs this donkey. This shows Jesus' foreknowledge of the future. God's foreknowledge shows not merely that he knows what's going to happen in the future, but he also shapes and works out the future according to his goals and purposes. It is true that God revealed his knowledge of the future to his prophets in the Old and New Testament, but the Lord Jesus knew about the future because he is God, and he works all things according to his will. Notice this Holy Week, especially Christ knowingly and willingly walking into the eye of the storm. He knows what's going to happen during this week, and yet he does not flee from his death by execution. He shows that he is a prophet by knowing the precise details concerning this animal and its whereabouts. In the Gospel of Mark and Luke, when they record this incident, they also mention the objection of the owner when they see the disciples letting the animal loose. Of course, their natural reaction would have been, "Wait a minute, what are you doing? This is my animal. What are you doing with it? You can't have him." And with the simple explanation that the master needs him, they grant permission for the followers of Jesus to use this donkey. There is also an implicit trust that the disciples must place in the Lord as they go out and get this donkey. Jesus has assured them in advance that everything will work out, but that's easier said than done. How many times have we been anxious about the future and whether things will work out as we wish? And here we stand 2 weeks into restrictions on our liberty, and we wonder, how long? How long? And I invite you, don't ask people next to you or your neighbor or government leaders or anybody else that question, because we can't answer it. but I know somebody who does know the future and how long it will take until we're back to normal. And that person is God. And so we need to cry out, how long, O Lord? We know in our heads the verse from Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The real test of faith is whether we are worrying about things working out according to our wishes, or whether we can trust God to work out all things according to His will. And so we need to follow the example of the disciples who took this step of faith. And maybe they were apprehensive, but still they trusted that Jesus knew what He was talking about as He gave them these instructions. Secondly, Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem communicates that He is the King. In ancient times, a military leader would ride into a city on a stallion as a symbol of strength and power. But Jesus, to show that He is a different kind of king, rides into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. This certainly communicated something very different than entering the city on a stallion. And yet Jesus shows His humility as He does this, that He is in fact fulfilling an ancient Old Testament prophecy from Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. 1900 years after Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, another visitor came into the city, Germany's last Kaiser, Wilhelm II. His entourage was so grand that he had to have the Jaffa Gate in the old city widened so that his oversized carriage could pass through. After the parade had ended, someone climbed up and attached a large sign to the gate. The sign read, "A better man than Wilhelm came through this city's gate, and he rode on a donkey." Wilhelm on a great carriage, Jesus on a donkey. We see Jesus' strength through His humility. He rode on a donkey, showing His humility and His gentleness, things that are not characteristic of any earthly king. Listen to both Isaiah the prophet and St. Matthew's gospel, which speak of Jesus' gentleness. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 2 through 4 says this about our Lord. "He will not shout or cry out or raise His voice in the streets. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. In faithfulness He will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till He establishes justice on earth. In His law the islands will put their hope." And then in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Jesus' humility led Him to follow the way of the cross. Not to run from Jerusalem and its leaders or stay secluded within the city. He humbled Himself and became obedient to God the Father's will, even by death on a cross. Zechariah says that this king is righteous and has salvation. Because of the righteousness of our Lord, He is able to provide salvation for those who trust in Him as Lord and Savior. And it is at the cross that Jesus brought about justice for all the earth. For by His death, He reconciled us to God and God to us. But the people were expecting Jesus as king to do certain things for them, namely to crush Rome so that Israel would be liberated from her oppressive rule. But that was not the type of kingdom and kingship that Jesus was to exercise. He came to set us free from the tyranny of sin, evil, injustice, and ultimately death. Eventually, that would mean that the unjust rulers will be called to account, that the wicked will be judged, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. We will be resurrected, and in the words of the epistle, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King to the glory of God the Father. But everything will happen in its appointed time. And this was not the time for Messiah to end human history. Rome would fall in the fourth century, but not by the hands of Jesus. His mission was to bring righteousness and salvation by His life, death, and resurrection. And the Lord Jesus will not turn away anyone who truly comes to Him in humble faith. We can take comfort in Jesus, who is both almighty and gentle, who was all-knowing and humble. We can cast the burden of our sin, the burden of our anxiety, and the weight of our problems upon Jesus because He loves us and He cares for us. Since the Lord Jesus is almighty, He is able to bear our burdens and to grant us relief, whether by delivering us out of our troubles or granting us the strength to endure our troubles. Third, Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem communicates that He is the Savior. As our Lord entered Jerusalem, the people began to cry, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us." And it came to mean an ascription of praise to God. Again, we have to ask the question, what kind of salvation were the people expecting? I have just spoken of the type of king and salvation they wanted. But at the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, we are told what kind of Savior Jesus would be. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and tells him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He is further told that Mary would give birth to a son, and Joseph is to name the child Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. In fact, the name Jesus in Greek is equivalent to the Hebrew Joshua, which means the Lord is our salvation. Joshua in the Old Testament was used by God to bring the children of Israel into the promised land and drive out her enemies. But Jesus was not to be a replica of Joshua as a military leader, but one who saves us from our worst enemy, the enemy that we cannot overcome by our strength, the enemy of sin. Only God could overcome sin and death. And Jesus was up to that test because He is God. Because of what Jesus has done for us and our faith in Him, one day we will be in that crowd gathered around the throne of God. And there everyone will shout words of praise, heavenly hosannas that will ring throughout eternity, as it says in Revelation 5:13, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Jesus came riding in Jerusalem as the great prophet, as the great king, and as our great Savior. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, you are enthroned on the praises of your people. On this Sunday, we remember your Son's entrance into Jerusalem and the crowds who shouted, Hosanna. Your Son humbled himself and obediently accepted death on a cross for our sake. Help us to follow the example of his obedience and to trust in his atoning death for our salvation. This we beg through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.